ask the Lord to bless us for just a little bit this afternoon. Our interest in your prayers. We try to impart some of the word that he's laid on our hearts. I'm thinking about power this afternoon. Power. Power is a remarkable thing. We see it in all kinds of categories, if I can say it that way. I used to like to go, I don't do it much anymore, but I used to like to go to the airport and watch the airplanes coming down the runway, the big ones. I've always marveled at how that with all those people, with all that luggage and fuel and everything they had on board, that they could go down that runway and they had the ability to be able to lift off the ground and go into the air. I don't remember now how much all the engines on those jets, they different sizes, have different amounts of thrust, but can you imagine the thrust in those engines that would be able to propel a behemoth like a 747 or 737 even? Any of those planes propel them to be able to go off the ground up in the air and carry so many people? I've been on 747s. It's amazing how many people that they can carry. There was 14 seats across with two aisles in that plane. It's a huge plane. And yet man has developed a way that there's power that is created in those engines that will give it the thrust that is needed to give lift and bring it up off the ground and be able to fly through the air. I've always been impressed with that. I think it's a remarkable thing. And to be able to bring that power under control to the point that when they want to land, they can kind of back it off and kind of float it in, seems like, and not have to land abruptly, but give a nice soft landing, bring us back down. Power is a wonderful thing, and it's only good if it's harnessed. If it's in control. If it works the way that it was intended for it to work. And I'm thinking about, of course, God's power. The Bible tells us that he took nothing and he spoke the world into existence, created all this. Now, I believe that. The Bible says so. Folks, that's power. The psalmist said in Psalm 62:11, he said, God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And all things were made by him. I'm glad that the real power belongs unto God. Men seek power. Power denotes authority when you have power over people. Our government is a pretty powerful government, and surely they make the laws and enforce the laws, and because of the power that's been given unto them by our Constitution, they have the power to make and enforce laws. Powerful group of men, powerful group of people. But as I said earlier, if it's not harnessed, if it's not used right, if it's not used for the right purpose, it can be very destructive too, can it? It can be very destructive. So power, that the power when the, for instance, our electric grid in our country, the power that sends electricity into your home and my home and into the businesses and so forth, that's amazing to me that we can create enough of that kind of power to be able to do that, and be able to harness it and bring it into control. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to every one of us. But I want to think about the power of God for just a little bit. Power is the special and peculiar prerogative of God and Him alone. I'll say that again. It's the special and peculiar prerogative of God. It's His prerogative. It's His choice. And His alone. I don't know anybody here in this room or anybody in my life that God ever came down to us and asked us if it was okay to do this or that or the other. God does what He will, doesn't He? Because He's God. He's divine providence. And I'm thankful this afternoon to know that because He does that and He is able to do that and all power is given unto Him, that He is a God of wisdom. And that He is a God of love. Because power can be used to be very destructive. The enemy, anytime power is given into his hands, he just wants to destroy. We have that in the book of Job when God allowed the enemy to do what he wanted to do with Job. And it was strictly to destroy. To bring heartache, to bring sorrow. But the Lord said you can't take his life, so the devil has some power too, but his power is limited. He can only go so far as what God will allow him to go. I really believe that the devil would kill every one of us, destroy every one of us, if he could. But I'm glad this afternoon to know that God has all power, the scripture says, in heaven and in earth, and that he loves his people. And that he is going to protect and care for us. And the devil is limited into what he can do to each and every one of us. I'm thankful for that. It all has to go through God, doesn't it? You think about the sun. The sun has a lot of power. You and I couldn't get real close to it without being consumed. We'd burn up. The sun has a lot of heat. The sun gives off a lot of light. But folks, even the sun doesn't have any power to perform what it does, except as it was given unto it by God. Except as God directs. Can you imagine that big ball of fire up there that's in the sky? It's been there for a long time. When God spoke the world and created this thing, He's a God of order and He put everything in order. He put the sun in its orbit. He put the moon in its orbit. He put the stars where He wanted them to be. He put everything in its order. He's a very orderly God. And they're still there today. I was reading some of that. You ought to read it. You ought to refresh your mind sometime in the 38th, 39th chapter of the book of Job. When Job was professing to know a few things and God come along. Oh, I really enjoy reading that. And I'll paraphrase there, you know, he said to Job, he says, "Where were you when I hung the world in space? Where were you when I laid the cornerstone? You know, were you even born yet?" Of course he wasn't. "Did you learn these things because of the years that you've been here? Where were you? What do you know about the hoary frost? What do you know about the hail? Well, can you speak the word and cause a cloud to go over a city or a people and cause it to rain? Who are you that speaketh to me in your foolishness?" In other words, God says, "Where were you?" Folks, we are nothing compared to God. I love to go to the ocean. Probably several of us like to go see the ocean once in a while. And I stand there and I look at those proud waves coming across that water, and some of them get real big and the surf goes up and they're just a rolling and a rolling. But when they get to the sand, when they get to the shore, they just die right down, don't they? God said, "Where were you when I put the door or the boundary upon the sea and upon the water? I stop those proud waves right there every time." God does this. Power. All power really belongs unto Him. And yet man, power is such a wonderful thing. Man desires power. Man wants power. Power means that you're in control. When you have power, you're in control. And man just loves to be in control of things. But there's some things that God has in His power that He doesn't give you and I to control. But He wants you and I to have faith in Him and trust Him that He can control what needs to be controlled in our lives. And I'm glad that He can. There's another word that I want to add to this power. And this word is called resolve. Power and resolve. Resolve simply means that I have a fixed determination that I'm going to do such and such a thing. I resolve in my mind, I resolve in my heart, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I believe, this is what I understand, and this is what I'm going to stand by regardless of whatever else happens. I have a resolve. So, I want to add that to the power of God. And I want to encourage us this afternoon, just challenge us a little bit more, that you have a determination or a resolve, that you have it settled in your mind, settled in your heart, that whatever God purposes for you, that you have a resolve that you're going to allow His will to be done in our life. In all of His power, He tells us that in the operation of His Spirit, there's power. It says, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, He gives us a certain amount of power. Power to be able to live right in this world. Power to be able to live a moral, a holy and a godly life right here in this present time. Do you know as the world is going today, it's real easy for you and I to go the way the world wants to go. But when it's like, have you ever paddled a canoe against the tide, against the stream? You gotta paddle a lot harder to make that canoe go against the way the water's running. It's the same thing that God gives you and I. The power to go against the stream or the tides of this world and be able to go upstream toward God, toward the things that are holy, towards the things that satisfy us in this life. And we need the Holy Spirit to do that. I want us to look at the scriptures, the 11th chapter of Hebrews. These old fellows, we've been talking about them, reading about them for years. But I'd like to read a couple of them again today. One of them was in our... No, wasn't either. Started to say it was in our Sunday school, but it wasn't. I'd like to read in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in the 6th verse, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now folks, there's where our resolve comes in. Lord, inspire our faith today. Help our faith to be strong. Help our trust to be great in this all-powerful God that I've been talking about. But without faith, it's impossible. Now, I didn't write this, but He said it's impossible to please Him without faith. Lord, help us to have faith today. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And folks, what did He say? He will reward you if you diligently seek Him. I'm talking about a God today that has the power to remove all obstacles that may present itself in our life. And whatever we have to deal with and whatever we have to face, those things that look overwhelming to us, those things that are such a challenge to us, I'm talking about you and I believing in a God that is a rewarder to us that diligently seek Him. I'm glad we can know that kind of a God today. To know, as the writer said, all power is in His hands. And I believe that. Life and death, the Bible says, is in His hands. They're in His hands. The Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die, doesn't it? Well, we all have that appointment. We're going to meet it someday. We don't know when. It's in God's hands. And I'm glad it is. I had a fellow tell me the other day, he said, I'm glad I don't know when I'm going to die. Well, I don't want to know either. I just want to be ready when the time comes. But I know in my heart this afternoon, all power belongeth unto Him. And He said it's impossible for us to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Believe He's a God of power, a God of love, and a God of mercy. Folks, if God wasn't a God of mercy, then wouldn't any of us be here, be able to be saved this afternoon. He's a merciful God. He's a loving and a kind and a gentle and a forgiving God. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now we have examples in the Word of God, and I want to read two of them right here. He went on to say, by faith. Now without it, it's impossible to please God. Remember that. But by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah is an excellent example for you and I to do what God tells us to do. You may not understand. You may question it. The sister said in her prayer, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But folks, you must believe in Him. Believe that He is. This is the God that knows everything. Is it going to storm tomorrow? I don't know. But God does. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. We must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder. Now Noah here, warned of God of things not seen as yet. We all know the story. Up until this time, there had never been rain upon the earth. The ground was watered by mist that came up out of the ground. But God says there's going to be a flood. God said. Folks, God knows these things. He's in control. He's the one with the power, isn't He? And He said, you need to get an ark ready. I want you to build this boat. I want you to, for the saving. He said here, and he moved with fear of God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. If he hadn't have done what God told him to do, folks, his whole family would have been lost, including Noah. Must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Who has the power? God has the power. I have to have the resolve. I have to be determined in my heart to do what God says to do. That means for me to keep His word. It means for me to follow His word, doesn't it? And it means that I'm going to have to trust Him regardless of what I see or what I don't see. No doubt they were mocking Him. He was out there in the middle of a desert, probably really hot. Him and his boys working on this ark, putting all this wood together and building this great big old boat out there on the sand. No sign of water anywhere. But God said, didn't He? Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Folks, if he hadn't been determined, if he hadn't exercised his faith, him and his family would have been lost. It would have been a different story. I don't know how it would have turned out, but he was moved with fear. He had the fear of God upon his heart. And he trembled when God spoke to him. And he believed God's word, didn't he? Folks, so many times in our circumstances in life, and I know we all, folks, doubt brings fear. What I don't see. Fear is that thing that I don't see. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's around the corner. But when God says that he's going to take care of me, I got to believe it. I got to believe that God's going to do what he said he was going to do. And you know what? All these years he's done it for me. I've never, in all my years, I've never heard one of the saints stand up and say, you know, God let me down. I've never heard that. Maybe he wasn't right on time when you thought he ought to be. Maybe it didn't happen the way you thought it ought to happen. But God's always on time, folks. Because of his promises. He promised that he would take care of us. And he would be with us always. So, Noah, he had a resolve. Surely he was a man. When God looked around and saw the wickedness of the people in that day, and he saw Noah, and Noah found what? Grace. In the eyes of God. God saw that he was a goodly and a justly man. And God gave him something to do to perpetuate the world after the flood, after the deluge, back in his day. And Noah was faithful. And I'm glad he was. He was faithful, saints. And then he goes on to this second fella. And he says, by faith, here's faith again. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. God came along. You can read about it over there in Genesis. God came along and said, Abraham, you know, he was considered a friend of God. And he came along and he said, Abraham, he says, I want you to take your lovely wife and your children, and I want you to move from here, and I want you to go over here to another land that I promised you. Well, where's it at? When do I stop? How far do I go? You know what? Basically, God said, I'll let you know when you get there. Saints, that's what our struggle is sometimes. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, and we struggle because, Lord, I need to know now. Don't make me wait until I get there. I need to know now. No, we don't. We need to trust God, don't we? We need to trust in his power, in his wisdom. We don't need, we think we need to know. God will let you know when you get there. And good old Abraham, he packed up his tents, packed up his wife and his children, and took all of his flocks, and away that he went, not knowing where he was going. It said, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and heirs of the promise with him. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for something. He was expecting something from God, folks. We need to be expecting something from God too, because he's given us many promises and he loves us. And he wants to give us good things. The scripture says, no good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. I think about what an example that Abraham was to you and I. Oh, I tell you, I confess. If the Lord come along to me and said, Larry, I want you to pack up and I want you to go to California or I want you to go to Florida, I'm going to do some fasting and praying. Because I don't want to go to either one of those places. I'm going to do some fasting and praying. Because I don't want to go. If the Lord would say that. Lord, help me to have a resolve, a determination to say, Lord, if that's what you will, your will is, and if that's what you want, I'm willing to do it. I've been invited to some places to come and live. But the Lord hasn't told me to do that, and He hasn't invited me. So I'm going to stay right here, Lord willing, by the help of the Lord. Abraham, he was a tested man. Have you been through some tests and some trials? I know we have a sister right here that's been through quite a few of them here lately. But we've all been through them. And we will continue to go through them as long as we breathe. As long as we live in this world. But you know what? I don't know, you know, in my mind's eye, maybe you look at it a different way. But that business of picking up and moving somewhere and you don't know where you're going, to me that really don't even compare to taking your son and taking him out and sacrificing him to me. You know, God came along. Now, Isaac was a promise. Abraham and Sarah had a son named Isaac, and he was a promise from God. And He promised him that through that seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And then God comes along. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, folks. Then God comes along and says, Abraham, I want you to take your son. And then God said, the son whom thou lovest. God said that. That boy that you love, I want you to take him and I want you to go and sacrifice him to me. He didn't even tell him where he was going to do it. He just take him and go. When you get there, I'll let you know where it is. And when he got to the bottom of that mountain there, the Lord said, this is it. Take him up there and sacrifice him. Give him back to me. Now folks, that was faith, wasn't it? And he went there and he got to that place and he told the boys that was with him, he said, you fellas stay here and my son and I are going to go up and we're going to worship the Lord. And when we finish, we're coming back down this mountain. But God said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice him to me. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. They went up there. You all know the story. God provided a ram caught in a thicket. And that was the sacrifice, wasn't it? But Abraham went so far to raise that knife to take his son's life when God stopped him. God saw what was in his heart. He saw the faith that he had. He believed in God, and God was a rewarder, wasn't he? He was a rewarder that day to old Abraham. And he saw the faith that he had and his willingness to do what God told him to do. Lord, help us today to be so willing. To be so willing to do what God tells us to do. You know, whenever there's a real work of grace in the soul, it all begins with a pulling down. The pulling down of strongholds that we have. When there's a real work of grace, it all begins right there. God's power, my resolve. I'm determined, Lord, to do whatever it is that I need to do that you can show yourself strong in me. That I'll be faithful to what you're calling me to do. You see, when God calls us, saves us, and uses us, He does not build on the old foundation, does He? The old wood, the hay, the stubble, and all those things are consumed. Those things are burnt up. And He wants the silver and the gold and all the costly things is what God begins to build in each and every one of us. Pulling down the old self and letting God remake us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. Jesus told us when He was here, He said, let there be light. And he said, walk in that light, didn't he? Unless less darkness come upon us. You know, our resolve, what is our resolve now? It's my faith. It's my faith. My resolve is my faith. I determine, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, that I'm willing to do it. That's my resolve today. I want the Lord. Don't we want the Lord to have His way with us? Sure we do. There's a lot that we could read about there, but I'm not going to go into all that for the sake of time. It's an afternoon service. Don't intend to be up here real long. But I'd like to look at 2 Peter, the second chapter. We don't get involved in this chapter very much. We don't read 2 Peter, the second chapter, a whole lot. Because it's got some, maybe some negative connotations to it. Really, it's just realistic of the world that you and I live in. But Peter said, and I'll just begin reading. I want to deal with the first 9 verses so I won't get too involved in it. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. I think we all understand that verse. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, although we are enjoying our blessings of salvation, we must never forget that the devil has seducers. He has those out there, folks, that have designs on deceiving you and I and causing our souls to be destroyed. There always have been, Paul said, and there is today, false prophets among the people, and there shall be false teachers among us. The devil, you can't leave the devil out of our equation here. We're doing everything that we know and understand. We want to have faith in God. We have it resolved and determined that we're going to do what God's will and purpose is for us. But I want to tell you, the devil doesn't like that, and he's not satisfied with it, and he's going to come against you and I in any way that he can. And he's going to use men to do it. Now, let's read verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. Now he's talking about the folks back there in the wilderness. The folks that sinned against God in the wilderness, calls them angels. This is men. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. As far as I know, as far as biblical time marks time, it's been over 6,000 years now since God created the heavens and the earth. Some people says it's been millions and millions. I'm not getting into all that. I said according to biblical reference. When God created the world and made Adam and Eve. And he said here that the angels, he didn't spare the angels. In other words, there were many times when the children of Israel back in that day sinned against God. Remember, one time the earth opened up and swallowed up 3,000 people, I believe. One time the serpents come out and bit and destroyed several hundred or thousand people. God is requiring you and I, folks, to have a resolve and a purpose in our hearts that we're going to be faithful to Him all the way. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And He said He delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And He's talking about that day, that judgment day, all those souls, all those people that perished back years and years ago, they're being reserved to the day of judgment that we read about in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. There will come a day when the books will be open and will all be judged. But He went on to say, and spared not the old world. He saw the wickedness of man and He destroyed him, didn't He? But He saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. The power of God. God did that. You hear people today said God wouldn't do this and He wouldn't do that. God's a God of love. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin came up before Him. And He hates sin. And that type of sin, the New Testament calls it, Paul calls it an abomination in the sight of God. And it says here very plainly in the New Testament, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now what does that tell you? It tells me that we have that for an example if we choose the ungodly path. God's still in control. God still has the power. That means He has the authority because He has the power to do what He will in the lives of men and women. And it said, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Folks, I'm there. I'm just going to speak for myself. I'm there. My soul is vexed from day to day. We turn on the radio, wife and I, and listen to it some in the morning sometimes, and I tell you some of the things, the most God-awful things that we hear that is news that is going on today. Man killing his little 5-year-old child. Man doing this, man doing that. People destroying one another and making lustful acts with one another and all those kind of things. I want to tell you, it vexed my righteous soul to see that man is so depraved and gotten down so low that we're right there back where Sodom and Gomorrah was. That's what man's doing today. They want to get out in the streets and they want to call it pride. They want to have rainbow flags and they want to do all those kind of... Let me tell you something, folks. The Bible says that He said, and delivered Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, and He made them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. We have an example of the power of God and what it can and will do to the ungodly. Ain't nobody going to get to the... escape the judgment and escape His wrath and get inside of God's heaven, folks. We're not going to do it. It ain't going to work that way. God's in full control and He has all the power and all the authority. But then He went on to say, for you and me, the Lord knoweth how. See, He knows how to do this. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And I take courage this afternoon to know that when the wrath of God falls, And I believe it'll fall mightily on this nation. I do. Because of the sins that this nation has committed against God. I believe it'll fall mightily. But the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under the day of judgment to be punished. Folks, without faith, it's impossible to please God. They that cometh to God must believe that He is. I believe that He is. I believe He's God. And I believe there isn't anything that's out of His control or His ability to do what He wants to do. Scripture in the New Testament, I believe it's the 13th chapter of Hebrews. The writer says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to leave you with a verse of scripture over here in 2 Corinthians. I don't even have it written down, but the Lord brought it to my heart. It says in 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you know the scripture that I told the Lord before I got up in this pulpit this afternoon? I said, Lord, without You, I can't do anything. Can't do it. None of us can. Jesus said, without Me, you can do nothing. And I'm reminded that so much. But He said here, the treasure that is in these old earthen vessels is that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Folks, I want to add this in here. The strong-willed person is much harder for God to help than the one that feels His weakness. There's a lot of strong-willed people. I'm determined I'm going to do it my way. I'm determined this is the way that it's going to be. We have such strong-willed people in our country today that when they don't get their way, they are lawsuit happy, aren't they? They don't get their way, they're going to go to court and they're going to take it as far as they can get it in order just to get their way. The strong-willed person is much harder for God to help. But the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. Paul prayed 3 times and said, Lord, remove this thorn in my flesh. And God didn't do it. But after the 3rd time, that was enough for God. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Folks, His grace is sufficient. His grace is the power that worketh within each and every one of us. And the more that we have consecrated or surrendered to Him, the more that we have surrendered to God, the easier it'll be for both of us. You know what I mean? It'll be easier for God to direct our life. It'll be easier for me. There may be trials that I won't have to face if I keep it surrendered and committed to God. God's got the power. He's left it up to you and I to have the resolve, to submit, to surrender, and be determined that God, whatever Your will is for my life, that's what I want. I want to stay in that place where You can guide me, lead me, use me, direct me, and be faithful to You with my life, that you might get the glory that I desire for you to have in me. Lord, bless us each and every one this afternoon. God's got the power. I'm glad that he has power over the devil. He has power over man. His power is even greater than the nuclear power that they have in our world. It's greater than that, folks. You look around at, have you thought about it? When he comes back, the world's going to burn up. The Bible says, Peter said that. The world's going to, it's going to pass away. It's going to burn up. With fervent heat, he said. I look around at things and I think about these big chunks of steel and all this concrete and all that. It's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. Because God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Don't underestimate the power of God, folks. And don't underestimate what God can do with you when you're surrendered to his will and to his purpose in your life. Amen. Thank you.